Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, so there's a lot going on in the world, and we're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about everything else.
Well, not that we're not going to talk about it. It's Mark made a really good point in the opening of the show. He's like, I don't think people come to you for politics.
I don't think we're under the politics and news category of podcasts.
No, but I will say one thing, because me and my girlfriends were talking about it the other day, and I was like, you know what? This is just like, this is why I turn off sometimes the news and Instagram, because it just stresses me out and gives me anxiety. And I'm like, I'm in control, because I'm not in control of anything else. I mean, I first and foremost believe God's in control. But after that, I'm in control of what I do to make myself feel better, anxiety, the things that I do, like to be a better mom. And me watching the news and, you know, I want to be informed. Like, I'm not trying to be arrogant walking around. But I also feel like I know the kind of person I am. I have a lot of anxiety. And I can't control that right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to control what I can. And that's, you know, being a good mom, showing up, doing self-care, and trying to stay off, you know, the news as much as possible. Now, someone might call me arrogant and white privileged because of that. But, you know, I just...
Yeah.
I know my anxiety level of things. And I just... I have to just, you know, control what I can. Because if not, I'll go crazy.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I really enjoy not being on social media. Granted, sometimes I feel out of the loop when things start to occur, but I like it, especially when you get into the weeds of things. And so instead of talking about that, let's talk about Kim and Kanye for a second.
Why?
Because are you really surprised that they're getting divorced?
I mean, I feel bad for their kids.
I mean, can you say you're surprised, though?
You know who she has on. Actually, I was on her podcast, Laura Wasser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just did her podcast a while ago. There's so many divorces. I'm surprised by a few people's divorces this year. But, I mean, honestly, it's kind of sad, but, like, nothing surprises me anymore.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, and that's kind of sad to think about that, because I'm like... I mean, someone could say the same about us if we got divorced. Are you surprised? Do you know?
A valid point.
Like,
you're right.
People, honestly, people, I wouldn't be surprised.
People probably wouldn't be that surprised.
No. They'd be like, all right, you know, they tried. But
they might be more surprised like 10 years from now and be like, damn, Jana, they're still Mike married? Still married? Really? I forgot about them.
1,000%. But no, I mean, I feel bad for the kids, and even though they're bajillionaires, but... You know, that doesn't, you know, again, we have friends that have all the money in the world, but they're so unhappy in their marriage. So it's you know, it's not about that.
No,
but
it's not. The older you get, the more you realize that.
But yeah, but I mean, if you take into account, I'm really not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if people said the same thing about us. And
no, I'm with you. You know, speaking of kids, though, we had Jolie come in our bed last night, because anytime she takes a nap at school, we can tell, because she does not go to sleep. Mm-mm. When we put her to bed.
And she's so crabby today.
Yeah.
Ooh, so whiny.
Yeah.
Woof.
And so it was snowing last night. So we're like, all right, we know Jolie's up. We turned all the lights off in our room and opened the curtain so we could watch the snow. We're like, all right, let's go get Jolie and bring her down. So we do that, and we're cuddling, and we're like sandwiching Jolie. And after 3 minutes.
No, like two.
Jolie kind of goes, Dad? I'm like, yeah, honey? She's like, I'm ready to go to my bed. And that's funny for us, because as you guys know, our love languages are completely different. And Jolie is my child when it comes to that stuff, where like the whole cuddling and all that, she's good for like a minute and she's like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna go sleep in my bed. Y'all sleep in your bed. I'm out.
Yeah. And I'm like, just somebody cuddle with me, please.
That's what I said. You got Jace. He's a little cuddle bug.
He is. But what else is going on?
Yeah, we're traveling today. We're going to Ohio for my grandmother's funeral that passed away on the 28th. And, you know, I sat with my emotions around it, you know, the first 24 hours when we found out. But now I guess I'm kind of nervous for like going up there and the emotions coming back. And you know, as Jana knows, she's suffered from dementia for the past 15 years, has lived in assisted living for the last 12, barely remembers, you know, only has like one memory that she can remember of the grandkids or, you know, parents or whatever. And so it's one of those things that the call was inevitable, but it doesn't really change the impact of it when it finally comes, you know? So I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Which part are you nervous about?
I mean, we haven't traveled since early fall when things were a little calmer with the whole virus stuff. So that, I guess, a little bit. And then I think just the emotions of things and, you know, anytime you see someone you love upset too, that's like even more of a killer. So it's like seeing my mom upset or something like that. And, you know, we're the only ones able to go. So like you and I are basically representing all the grandkids. So that's big. I think there's some emotion around that too, because I wish my cousins could be there because we were all really close. I wish, you know, all my aunts and uncles could be there, but, you know, they have their reasons that they can't. So I think that's going to, I'm nervous and sad for that too, that it's not the celebration of life that one hopes for somebody they love, in the means of not everyone being able to be there. But, you know, we're going to make the most of it, and we're going to be able to see some of your family too, because it's in Toledo, Ohio, which is close to Detroit. So we're kind of bundling the trip up with seeing family for positive and negative reasons. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry again, but I'm happy that I'm going to be able to be there to support you and your mom.
We appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Well, let's take a break, and then we're going to bring it back up.
You know, on a high note, we have found another great show that we've been watching.
So we finished Undoing, which was so good.
Intense.
Slightly triggering, but so good.
Yeah.
And now we're on Flight Attendant, which is so good. It reminds me of Dead to Me.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very, yeah, in very similar ways. Definitely, I can see how they're the same. It's surprise. Because neither one of us had necessarily opinion of Kaley Cuoco.
I personally never liked 30. What is that? 30 Rock?
No, Big Bang.
Oh, Big Bang. I didn't like her in it. I didn't like the show. So, but now I'm like, oh, she doesn't bother me. I like her.
I think she's great in it.
Oh, she's awesome. She honestly reminds me of a Christine Applegate. Mm-hmm. It's very Dead to Me kind of feel. And then we also have our side stuff too. So I watched Pretty Little Things, which is a ballet show, but it's like dark, and loved it. And then Bridgerton, which I binged in one day. So steamy. It's like soft P-O-R-N. I can't say the word. And it's incredible. It's like Pride and Prejudice on like Viagra.
You described it to me saying it was the 50 Shades of Grey and Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Meets 50 Shades of Grey.
It was so good. Oh my God. It was so good. I mean, I know you don't like
it. Did you try it?
Look, Pride and Prejudice is one of Jan's favorite movies of all time. And I fall asleep. And I'm not a fall asleep during a movie kind of guy. That thing bores me to death. And so
I'm with you. I hate period pieces. I hate powdered wigs. I hate the big bell dresses. I hate all of it. I watched the trailer for Bridgerton and I thought, nope, not for me. But everyone's raving about it. I think I have to try it.
You have to try it. But here's the thing. I will say, I don't think it's for men. I think it's for women. But I think it's very bad on like my marriage and like those kind of shows. Because every show that I watch is like the lust and the love and like wanting that like attention and having that like immediate like, and I'm just like, this is like, me and my girlfriend were talking about it, like, this is terrible for our marriages, because we're just like, ah, we want that again.
We want that Mr. Darcy sweep us off our feet.
We want the Duke. It's just like, and of course that night, you know, I'm like, Mike gets home from a guy's night and I'm like, baby, come cuddle with me. And you know, he ends up not cuddling with me and I'm like, ugh, I just want a man's arms around me. But I think it truly is like, it's like a Gossip Girl's 50 Shades of Grey.
You've been binging more shows, I think, than I have recently.
Yep.
You have. Yeah, she's basically confiscated my iPad. Anytime I go and look for it, she's got it somewhere.
But no, it's really good. Like, I think, Mark, you should definitely watch it. Don't let your daughters near it. Okay. I mean, don't watch it with a parent. Like, if you're older in your 20s, 30s, don't watch it with a parent. I mean, she's basically getting, you know what, on like the stairs. Like, it's just like, it's intense.
Wow. So
it's almost like, I mean, it's hot. It makes you like your heart.
But how? It's a period piece. So what? They're wearing like powdered wigs and looks
stupid.
You
just don't understand. It's the connection that the Duke and the girl have.
So I should watch this with my wife, right?
Yes. And then have
it's
sex
weird for
right
me to
afterwards.
Watch this by myself.
And then have amazing sex right after it. Because if not, every woman's going to be like, oh, my marriage sucks. But everything is so overly sexualized right now on TV. I mean, a sex scene. It's like the one show that I watched, I was like, why do you have to have so many sex scenes? Like, I feel like everything's just so overly sexualized that it's kind of getting annoying.
I actually have a take on that.
Okay.
I've found myself, and I don't know if this necessarily comes from a little bit of obviously my recovery stuff or whatever, because seeing any of that in shows and movies, it doesn't affect me. Like, that doesn't like, oh, like that doesn't get my addict thing. It doesn't. So, but I have found myself more uncomfortable, and I think maybe it is because of shows, how sexualized they are, where if I'm watching a show or a movie by myself and I'm like, okay, like I watched Basic Instinct for the first time, right? Like a couple weeks ago, never seen it, right? Because when it came out, we were just too young and I just haven't never watched it. That movie is effing intense, okay? And the sex scenes are intense, and I'm just like, all right, it's been like a minute, like I get it. And I would hit like the, you know, fast forward 10 seconds, 15 seconds until it's done, because I'm like, this does nothing for me. I want like, get back to the story, the action. I want to know what happens. Did she really kill him and all this stuff? And so to your point, I mean, granted, that was a movie in the 90s, but still, things I've watched now, I'm just like, okay, I get it. Yeah.
That's a male-female divide, I think.
Really?
I think men like love scenes just for the nudity. Women like love scenes for that connection, and they can enjoy it as it goes on for a while, where men are like, okay, I get the idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, that's a valid point.
But as a woman too, though, I'm looking at it like, yes, I love the connection. But then at the same time, I'm like, does every single episode have to have this? Now, granted, it did something for me. I loved it. But not when I turn on the next show and it's like, God, like, okay, can I have something else that isn't just like sex, like every single episode? Because now my brain's gutter.
It's got to be done well. It can't be gratuitous. It's got to be done. It sounds like Bridgerton does it well because Shonda knows what she's doing.
Oh, she's incredible.
Oh, it's a Shonda Rhimes show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we love Shonda. We love Shonda. Shondi.
She's a genius.
She's
great.
Does
that make you more likely to watch it, Mike?
It makes it more enticing, but I'm still not going to watch it.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know, here's a thought for 2021. Might be time to get Jana her own iPad.
But here's the thing.
No.
I'll get it, and she'll never use it.
No.
She'll still, like, use mine. And then I'll get it, bring it home and be like, why did you spend money on this? And so I'm in a lose-lose here, Mark. Okay. And she's the world's worst at charging things when she's done.
Oh, no.
He gets so mad at me and I'm like, chill, just plug it in.
Yeah. But if you need it right then, like the
like
amount
to
of
this
times.
This morning, I wanted to watch, by the way, I'll never run without the iPad because I was so bored today on my run. So I'm like, because oh my God, it's like, I was like, is this 30 minutes up yet? But I was like, hey, can I use your iPad? And he's like, well, I have to charge it. And I'm like, well, how much is left on there? He's like 30%. And I was like, oh, I can, that's perfect. That'll give me enough time to watch. And he's like, but like, it just gave you anxiety. I'm like, who cares?
Because we're traveling today.
Oh, then you just charge it after my run. And he gets mad at me when I don't charge Jolie's iPad. He gets mad at me.
Yeah,
when
and
I don't
that's the thing. Like, Jolie comes and wakes me up at 6 a.m. Dad, iPad. Oh, sorry. Mommy didn't charge it. Here's mine. And then that one's dead. And then everything's dead.
I have two batteries I keep just for Allison's phone. Her phone's always dying. And I'm like, these are always charged, ready to go, so she can charge it up anywhere she is. It's the one thing I do right, is keep everything charged.
Same. I'm like, Like, if we went on trips with the, when we go on trips with the kids again, yes, Jana probably plans so much stuff around it, but we would not survive if it wasn't for Dad, because I got the cords, I got the iPads, I got the headphones, I got batteries, I got everything for the trip. I got planned, packed, ready to go.
Yeah, but
prepared. Everything's fully charged. If it was Jana in that category, I think this is a women thing too. Men, we're, our stuff is charged. Our stuff is ready to go. Women be like, wait, where are my headphones? Wait, this isn't charged. I don't have this.
Oh, I'm sorry, because we were so busy packing our clothes, kids' clothes, your clothes probably, doing the laundry, everything else, that I'm sorry, we don't give a flying
guess what?
Frito about
you can buy new electronics. Clothes. Guess what happens on the airplane? You can't get new clothes on the airplane, but guess what?
Time out.
You don't need clothes on an airplane.
Who helps the kids?
But you know
what
you do need? You know what you do need? You need something to watch. You need something to entertain yourself. You need something to entertain your kids.
And mind you,
don't need extra clothes.
Okay, you've said your piece. On the plane, what do you do? I'm constantly like, okay, mommy's like, mommy, I want a snack. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, here's a snack. Mommy, I'm thirsty. Okay, hey, I got to pee. Okay, and you know what Michael's doing? He's sitting there on his freaking iPad the entire flight. I'm like, can you help, please? Just on his iPad. And I'm like, no iPads for anybody on the plane. Like, none. Like, there will be no iPad rule for just Jolie. Like, Jolie and Jace can have him, fine. But Dad, he's not allowed to have his iPad. Because it's like, he gets annoyed. You get so annoyed when I tap on your shoulder. When
we
talked about
this. I still have the video from it. We talked about this when we were on the podcast in LA. We were in the studio. And you tap me, and I'm just like, what? What do you want?
I've got two kids. They need help. I need help. I'm sorry. Like, one's like, ah. And you're, like, enjoying whatever show that you're watching. I don't know, rewatching Dexter for the 20th freaking time or The Office. Like, help. Put your iPad down. I don't get to have a fun, free flight.
Can't you see I'm busy?
Oh, my God.
Would you be okay, Jana? Because this is all ringing very true to me.
I'm booking myself a first-class ticket next time, and he can take care of the kids.
That's fine. The three of us will be there happy as a clam with our iPad or fruit snacks and a freaking drink right next to us, all three of us. And
meanwhile, I'm like, Jolie, here's flashcards.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're four, we will often book tickets where my wife and the daughters are on one side of the aisle and I'm alone on the other side of the aisle. It used to be two and two when they were younger, but now that's how my wife wants it. She wants to be with the kids and then I'm on the other side of the aisle. Would you be okay if Mike took the kids on the other side of the aisle and you were by yourself on the other side of the aisle, unable or unavailable to help them?
I would love to have my own aisle.
Bullsh!
What do you mean, bull? Because it's so nice to have because
I've
kids
offered
like, mommy,
numerous
mommy,
times
mommy,
as a baby,
mommy.
I'll sit over there. You're like, no.
You
because
say
here's the
it
thing.
In even, such a, even, I'll sit over there.
No. Because here's the thing. If you sit over on the other side, you'll be like, you'll be helicopter parenting me. You'll be like, no, give
well,
him that. No,
Jolie,
don't give him that. Give him that. Hit it that way. Give him that. Get that one. I'll be like,
well,
I can parent.
Well, because it's 9 o'clock and you're giving them the Welch's fruit snacks. I'm like, can we at least try the blueberries that I cut up and the strawberries that
Look,
I cut up and the banana that I cut
all,
up with the little
we
dip
all know
peanut
on
butter?
A flight, you're just trying to serve. It's survival. It is survival. There's no flashcards. Schedule doesn't exist. You survive until you land.
Look, I'm fine with
the
that unless it's
rests.
Unless it's 6 a.m. and you're offering them something like a whatever. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to say something motherly because I've cut up everything in the perfectly packed things to make sure, which
Jolie,
you get mad at because
eat your vegetables first at 8 a.m. and then we'll do flashcards. Shut up. I want to sit with Dad. We have fun on a flight.
Yeah, they also pee your pants because he won't answer you when she taps on your shoulder.
So ridiculous.
That was fun.
Yeah. Anyways. We have a guest on today that I'm very intrigued and excited to talk to.
I kind of feel like you're going to fight with her, just like you fought with me. Going to be a little honest on that because I was reading the breakdown.
But I read more on her home webpage.
Okay.
And it comes off not as like.
Well, doesn't she not believe in AA programs?
It didn't. So on the breakdown, it seemed that way. On her website, the way she painted the picture was like more of it wasn't for her. Which
oh, okay, I have a lot of friends that are like that.
I respect that.
Yeah.
So I'm just interested. So her name's Holly Whitaker, and she wrote a book, Quit Like a Woman. Okay?
Chrissy Teigen used her actually to stop drinking.
She did. And yeah. So, you know, her following around this concept is really growing, you know, especially with women. So I'm interested to get her on. Obviously, me being someone who's in recovery and works a 12-step program, on her takes, you know, on the differences and why she didn't get into it and everything like that. So, I mean, she has a podcast. She's got a book. She has a blog. you know, she used to work in the healthcare business. So I'm excited to get her on and kind of dive deep on a subject that I'm obviously very
passionate about.
Passionate and biased towards.
Mm-hmm. But before we bring her in, let's talk about 3-day rule.
What's that?
Well, are you recently divorced, Michael? No. Need some help getting back out there?
I don't, but I'm sure some do.
Well, it can be hard, and you may not know how to start and where to look, but we know the perfect matchmakers that can help you find your perfect match at 3-Day Rule. If I see you on there, you are in so much trouble. Your time is too valuable to go on bad dates, so with one of the largest and most selective networks in the country, 3-Day Rule will get you the dates that you guys want.
So sign up today using our link, 3dayrule.com/iHeart. That's 3dayrule.com/iHeart. You'll thank us later.
And let us know if there's a match made in heaven. Before we get Holly on, Mark just said something to me and I'm like, wait, did we have this conversation? Will you say what you just said?
Well, with Holly coming on, I don't know if it's relevant to her conversation because she's more about quitting alcohol. I was just mm-hmm. mentioning that I personally have never been drunk in my life. Easton also never has drank in his life. And so I thought, if it comes up, if you need it, there you go.
And I haven't either. So
really?
Never been drunk.
Man, well, aren't I just a sinner here?
No, I... My mom, she'd let me have a wine cooler when I was like 14, 15. So I never felt like I had to hide it or abuse it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what it tastes like. Great. And then I never, you know, I was the one always driving my drunk friends in high school. I didn't have my college years. And I just saw them like, why would you want to get drunk? Like you're puking, you look miserable. Like
the idea of somebody the next day telling me what I did the night before yeah. is my worst nightmare.
That sounds awful. And Mike would say this though. He would say, well, that's blackout drunk. It's different. He's like, you've been drunk. I'm like, I've never had the spins. I've never like, I get happy, like, but I never spun. I've never like, I have my two drinks and I'm done.
So you've been buzzed and that's about it.
Yeah. I've been a little buzzy a time or two, but I've never been drunk.
And how often do you drink wine?
Well, so I'm stopping as much as I used to. So I used to drink pretty much daily. But now I'm doing 3 to 4 days and I'll have like, cause they say for women, 7 drinks in a week is average. So mm-hmm. now I'm like, I'm just picking like 3 days out of the week and I'll have like 6 drinks. Well, I'm not week, 6 yeah. drinks, but like 6 total, right. like out of the right. week. So I'm just, and plus I'm like, I have a wine coming out. Like I love wine. Like I'm obsessed with wine. It's my
wine down.
I mean, wine down. Like my new wine, One Brick, is coming out this week. Like it's just, you know,
it's been One Brick since you looked at me.
I love wine, but I also like, I don't abuse it. Like if we go to like, we just went to the Titans game and it's like, I don't drink because I want to get drunk or to fit. Like I like good wine. So, and when we go on vacations, like I don't get a strawberry this or whatever. Like I'm just like, I'll have a nice glass of wine at dinner. Because I can't drink crappy wine. Like, I just like the taste of good wine.
Well, Holly's ready, so we can bring her in. The difference is I don't even know what wine tastes like. So that's, you know.
Are you, like, sober? Or did you just never?
I've never even tried it. I don't even know what any of it tastes like. I've just stayed away my whole life.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting.
Okay, let's bring in Holly and get this convo started.
Hello.
Hey, Holly.
Hey, Holly. How you doing?
Hi.
You good?
I'm hanging in there. How are you both?
We're great.
We're doing great.
Yeah. So if recently you've had obviously, you know, people know who you are, but with Chrissy Teigen saying that, you know, your book helped her get sober. I mean, that's gotta be pretty cool. Someone with as much notoriety as she has to talk about your book. I mean, that's gotta feel pretty good.
Yeah, it feels pretty extraordinary and unreal, actually. I've been doing this since I started talking about my own sobriety in 2013 in a really different world. And my thoughts about it at the time, I mean, they were pretty, they're echoed now, you know, throughout people's recovery. There's a different story that we're building about what it means to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. And so it's real true validation, I think, of the work that a lot of people have been doing to change the narrative on what quitting drinking means.
So, Holly, I want to ask, because I don't know much of our story that you know, but I'm in a 12-step program in recovery for sex addiction, and I've been in the program for since 2016. You know, it's something that I follow that has worked for me, but I totally understand after being in it how someone can have a mindset of maybe it's just not for me, or they want to find other ways. And as you know, I'm sure you've been in the rooms to try to figure all this out. They pretty much don't say there's any other way. They just say there's 12 steps, right? And so I'm interested, like, what was that point for you that you're like, okay, this isn't for me. I got to find a different way.
I think it's real interesting. So my entry into this was I was given a 12-step program as an option when I first went to a doctor in 2012, and I had severe bulimia and also alcohol use disorder and also substance use disorder, pot. So it was a non-starter for me. I just, I couldn't go there, and I didn't want that. And then I ended up finding almost like a third door because I was I self-diagnosed as having borderline personality disorder, which also said you need to stop drinking, which I want to be clear, I didn't have, but a lot of times there's different mental health issues that are replicated by addiction or exacerbated. But for me, I found a different way in. I read a book called The Easy Way to Control Alcohol, which really almost broke down the idea of alcoholism, versus like alcoholism as a thing some people have versus alcohol as a thing maybe most people, shouldn't be consuming the way we do in the West, and now throughout the world. But it was just, I had a very different in, and I formed a set of beliefs around myself, and also alcohol. And then I tried to quit drinking for 6 months, and it was such a terrifying experience. And I, by the time on my sobriety date, which is April 14th, 2013, I had come to terms with so much, and I also felt like I really needed support and to face it. So I actually did go. That's when I went to AA. One of my friend's fathers called me, and he'd been in AA for 20 years, and he was just like, "Go," and so I went, and what I found was having had an experience where I had developed a different belief system and was actually really secure in my own relationship, like in that I didn't want to drink. And also, I felt that a lot of the conversations I was having in the rooms were running counter to that. I had people come up to me after the meeting and say, I would drink again if I didn't get a sponsor. I would drink again if I didn't go to more meetings. And what had really been, so important to me in my own recovery was moving that kind of idea out of my mind that I would have to constantly be vigilant of my alcoholism to not drink. I had a very different belief set around that. And so I felt almost more threatened in my sobriety in that experience than I did without going to AA. So I stopped going about 3 months after I got sober.
That's so interesting. You know, I can understand what you're saying at the end there about people. It almost feels like a codependency at times, right? Like on like that people may have to the program or have to a sponsor or have to people around them, where I understand you need the support because it's all about, right, reconnecting with people and getting out of yourself and everything. But I do share that mindset with you where I'm like, I'm not the same in that where I feel like if I don't call someone right now, right this second, I'm gonna act out or I'm gonna do whatever. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Well, and I think too, like I'll just interject, like when you were trying to find a sponsor, like one of them was so much, like it was like you had to call every day, and you're just like, that's not gonna help me from not doing it. Like it's just finding the right person for you that's gonna help guide, but also work the steps that because you do believe in the program, you know?
And I think that's what's so important is I think that there's so many ways to recover. Recovery is as unique to each individual. Like there is no, I don't know anybody that has done the exact same things. And I think that we are so afraid to explore other options and to validate other options. And so I think, from what I know now and how many people I know that are in recovery from all things, that there has to be room for so many different ways to exist.
So, I mean, your book title is Quit Like a Woman. What does that look like? Like, how do you quit like a woman? I'm curious.
I think the book is really meant to acknowledge the experience of women, mm-hmm. and which is extremely unique. And we're sick for a lot of reasons that men, you know, the same way that Black women are sick for a lot of reasons that white women will never understand. But we're sick for a lot of specific things. And then there's also this very specific culture where we are marketing it to each other constantly on social media as the, you know, the way through. And this is echoed, like yesterday, Jillian Michaels posted time of death for Dry January as the moment that the Capitol was breached. And then you just see thousands of women saying drinking whiskey now. And so we're in this bubble where we're constantly normalizing the use of drugs to get through life. And so the book really specifically speaks to how this came about, how we became the marketers of alcohol to each other, and the normalization of constant use for mothering, for getting through work, for de-stressing. And then it also really specifically addresses that we're coming to recovery often with deflated egos, with a lack of, you know, sense of self, with a lack of being able to move freely in the world without having to defend ourselves. And really starts from that point of what we need in order to build ourselves up. Instead of, you know, for me, when I was getting sober, a lot of this was, don't trust yourself, trust other people. You know, you're wrong. Your mind is lying to you. And don't, you know, your ego is, you know, that's your ego talking, or that's your alcoholism talking. And really what the book starts with is just, you know, what most women are coming in the door with is, which is a cratered ego. And there has to be this sense of really building up this belief that we can trust ourselves, and that we can develop a sense of ego, and that it's not wrong or our addiction talking, but almost what we need in order to really exist fully.
For sure. I guess like my question to you is, you know, I've never been drunk. We just talked about that before, but I love wine. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I have a wine coming out this week. Like it is my thing. And I do, like, you know, I know where, you know, nights that I'm like, okay, if we're fighting really bad, like I'm not going to drown it out, you know, with the wine. Yeah. I have to talk myself almost sometimes out of that. But I do, like, after a long day with the kids, like sometimes I'm like, I do want that. And I don't want to feel bad for it, you know, because it is, and I'm not abusing it. And so that's why I'm like, you know, it's like, I totally hear what you're saying, but then I'm also on the other side. I'm like, but it's also okay that I do this because I'm not abusing it in the way where I'm getting drunk. And I'm like, but I also, like, I enjoy wine. I enjoy the, you know, the taste of good wine. And like, I'll never just go to a random place and be like, you know, if we go to a bar, like, I don't drink bar wine. Like, I like the real nice wine. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't want women also to feel like that's not okay to like also
that's
enjoy.
The thing,
yeah.
Right. Like, women don't need any more shame or guilt for the choices that they make. And, you know, you just said, like, I unwind with a cheeseburger and I unwind with a bowl of pasta and sugar and gluten and all of, you know, the things that, you know, have now been, you know, crossed off the list of what we're able to enjoy or what we should enjoy. Yeah. And so this really isn't, you know, the way I always pull it back is there's a thing called informed consent. And informed consent is really what was driving in terms of like opioid overprescription. Mm-hmm. There was no informed consent about the addictive nature of it. And the same goes for like Milltown or Valium when it was overprescribed or benzos were overprescribed. We don't know, we don't fully understand the consequences of the substance that we're ingesting, then we're not able to make informed decisions. And when you couple with that, the marketing that this is and the normalization of the marketing of it, we're not actually moving forward with the full set of facts. And so the way that I really come back to is that it's about choice and it's about informed choice. Mm-hmm. And most of us don't understand that the actual full negative impact of alcohol. And we don't think of it as a drug. And because we don't think of it as a drug, we also don't think of it as something that could potentially cause us harm. And so it's just like we have the full set of facts around cigarettes now. We know what they do to us. We still don't really have, we're not working with the full set of facts around alcohol in that like it's linkage to cancer and that it's linkage to hormonal imbalance, sleep imbalances. And so we're pushing this as like, this is how you go to sleep or this is how, and And we're not necessarily going into that with eyes wide open around what it actually does to us. And the list is pretty long of the negative impacts. So I know what sugar does to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm consuming it with a full set of knowledge that it causes inflammation, that it, you know, causes blood sugar imbalance, like whatever. But we don't have that with alcohol.
What's your, you know, quit like a woman, what's the whole foundational belief? Because, you know, in 12 steps, it's all about higher power, living in consultation, connection, and not living in isolation, right? To get away from yourself. So what is that like for in that book, and what can people expect when they read it? Like, what's the foundation for, you know, for being sober and getting away from those things?
I think first is what I was just talking about, which mm-hmm. is that like information is so important around recovery, addiction, the substance. But I think mostly it's about holistic, unique paths to recovery and empowered paths to recovery. So I would say, like, I run a company that helps people move through recovery. And our foundational belief is that we put people at the center of it, which means that whatever someone does needs to be designed around their unique life, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to be designed around, you know, what social oppressions are coming in with, what like deficits in, you know, physiology or nutrition or whatever. There's a full spectrum of a human that walks through the door anytime, you know, you're looking to enter a path of recovery. And really, we drink or we drug or we escape for so many different reasons, and all those reasons really have to be brought into it. So, you know, AA or a 12-step program absolutely focuses on community. Mm-hmm. It focuses on storytelling. It focuses on higher power. It focuses on, you know, there's very specific things. Those are not excluded from the path. Right. But I think it's a matter of also bringing in other things like, you know, balancing our neurochemicals or leaving an abusive relationship or finding purpose and meaning in our lives. And so it expands to bring all of the things. You're in a 12-step program, but I guarantee you that you're also doing other things for your self-development, that this is one facet of it. And that's really how the book conceptualizes recovery, which is, it has to include the whole of your being, not just your spiritual path, not just your fellowship and community, not just your amends and your service, but really so many different things.
You know, I can respect and appreciate that, because I've told people this, I've told Jana this and other brothers in the program is, you know, I went to inpatient treatment for 60 days, and which not everyone is able to do. And honestly, yeah. I have a lot of respect for people that have gotten sober and not gone to inpatient, because the amount of
yeah.
work, therapeutic work that you do,
that's right.
in inpatient, for me, just know I wouldn't have been able to get sober if I didn't do that. If I didn't find out that's all right. that inside of me and try to purge and start figuring out where everything came from, where yeah. which it sounds like I make up is kind of like what you're doing, where it's like it's so much more than just showing up and being a part of a community and stuff like that. So again, I commend you for that, especially being someone that's, you know, is in a 12-step program. But do you ever, if you have a client or someone that you're working with and maybe something just isn't working, do you ever suggest 12 steps? Is that ever?
We suggest it. Yeah. We suggest to everybody try everything, and they make up their own mind about it.
That's great.
So there's people, you know, we use our program that are also part of the fellowship. There's people that have moved, you know, through it and don't find it useful anymore, mm-hmm. Or felt it couldn't work and have left it. There's people that are afraid to try it, that this is a soft landing, that then maybe progresses and evolves into their wanting to try it. And so I think it's just, it's again, I think we've done ourselves such a disservice by saying there's either just this one place over there and it's either good or bad, and then there's these other things. And really there's a whole constellation of ways for people to find themselves. And I think it's really important that people understand some things, like they can pick and choose and they can outgrow or mm-hmm. they can grow into. And so it's so empowering when we're able to really look at this and be able, you know, first of all, to acknowledge every other person's choices. We're so different, you know, you and mm-hmm. I are so different, and not the same things are going to work. And at the same time, we've done this disservice to ourselves by thinking that if I choose a different way, it's an affront to your choice, or it means your choice is wrong. Right. Your choice right. is like, that's just not the truth. When I was critical, I've written a lot about AA, mm-hmm. and my closest friends are, you know, in AA. And like, it's just, it doesn't undermine their choice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make what they've done any less or any more. And I think that we do have a habit of saying, well, this reflects on me, your choice reflects on me, when that's just not the case. Like, we have to support each other. I don't care what you do. Like, I support you. Still have
the same goal.
Yes. Yeah. Sober. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I totally hear you on that. And I took a lot from that, even just from the other side. Like, you know, I have friends that go to Al-Anon, and it's, I mean, it's their place that they're able to heal. I mean, I just had the conversation with a few friends the other day. But like, when I tried Essanon, it just wasn't for me. Like, I tried. Yeah. I was like, I was angry. I didn't like it at all. And it's like, where I found my peace is through my therapist. And I found a friend that she sponsors a bunch of people. I don't really call her my sponsor, but whenever I get that angst, I either call her or I call my therapist. And because every time I'm like, well, I'm told that I have to go to Essanon if I'm a sex addict's wife. So I go and I sit in these rooms and I'm like, I'm angry at my husband right now. I hate myself and I don't like it here. And I leave crying and just like depressed and defeated. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, it's okay to not be in the program and still be doing your work. So I can get it from like the other side too. Yeah.
It's valid. It doesn't mean you're not doing it right. And that was the thing I had to really overcome, was I had a lot of people who just expected, oh, if you have an addiction, you do AA. If you have an addiction, you do NA. Or SA or whatever, any of the millions of 12-step programs that there are now. And I just, it was so invalid. I was like, but wait a minute, I'm the one taking the steps to do something about this.
Right.
And any step I'm taking is the work. And we do have this idea that if you're not doing this one thing, then it's you, you know, not doing your part in your part of recovery, you know, be it a you know, a wife of a sex addict or a, you know, daughter of, you know, someone with a drinking problem. So it's, you know,
So is with kind of the program, you know, the customizable program approach, holistic approach that you are advocating for, is it still black and white in the sense of, if you're dealing with alcohol, it's you don't drink or you drink? Like, there's no in between, like there's no in moderation. It's still like, if you're trying to get clean, there's no drinking at all.
Yeah. So I think that's also not helpful. Abstinence only methods, like are not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so harm reduction is so important. And I think that everybody has to find, like, the point of what we're trying to do, right, is tell the truth to ourselves, not prove something to anyone else. Mm-hmm. And we really, like, what we encourage and what I encourage is for people just to remember that they told some truth to themselves somewhere along the way, and that they're going to keep doing that. And that is the point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, of where, what decisions you make for yourself. You know?
I would just like to say, too, just to, you know, the only reason why I drink red wine is because I've been told by my doctor that it actually has benefits. Like, I won't drink any other. Do I drink any other alcohol?
No.
And if I heard
only
that,
good,
like,
red wine.
Yeah, but if I heard that red wine was like actually not good for your heart, then I'd be like, okay, I'm not drinking anymore. Because you know me, I'm so like health conscious.
Yeah.
So, and she, all right, now Shannon. Here's Holly that's gonna really there.
Take well,
get her, Holly. Study. Get her.
No, so, but everyone, I mean, buy one brick at onebrickwines.com.
those studies were based on, were typically run on male, on men. And there are healthful components of, you know, found in red wine, but the list of adverse effects are pretty long. And so I think.
But so is doctors, like, sugars and carbs and like that's like.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just like, God, like everything is bad. Everything will turn into like, now you got to, the cheese is bad for your gut and this is bad for that. And, you know, the pasta that you eat is going to, like, that's bad for you too. And I'm just like, I it's just too much, you know.
It is too much. And that in of itself is its own problem and own sickness. I think, like, this is here's what I would say to that. Doctors, I worked in healthcare and, you know, I dated doctors, we're friends of doctors. Doctors aren't, you know, doctors have their own opinions. You know, doctors often go to 12-step programs as part of their training. They're not addiction medicine. Mm-hmm. They're not reading the different studies on alcohol. And so what I would say is do your own research on it, on whether or not, like, red wine isn't any different. It still has ethanol in it. It's still the same thing. Yeah. And recently there was an article that showed a truck driving on a handle of Tito's vodka, Like literally they just put a Tito's vodka in it. And so we do want to do our own research. We do want to understand, and there's plenty of it out there now, around the impacts on the body. But you're exactly right as well, which is there is so many ways that we're told that we, you know, have to be, how we have to eat and live, and that like idea of like perfection is in of itself really problematic. You know, we have to make our own choices. For sure. And I think like there's also just this, I always like to say, know what you can't F with, like mm-hmm. know what you cannot mess with. And I think that we have to open the door to be able to look at the things in our lives that are actually really hurting us. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow like smokes a cigarette a week, or I've read that she, I don't know if she still does, but there was a while where she was talking about how she has one American Spirit on a Friday, you know? And so, I mean, that's very different than somebody that's smoking, you know, 20 cigarettes a day. But there's also a lot of gray area in between those two things. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that people ask themselves, is this negatively impacting me? Or do I know what it is that I'm putting in my body? Again, so I can make these choices. Mm-hmm. That really is where it's at. This isn't about, oh, you can't drink anymore. Like women can't drink anymore. It's not like the point of this. This is really to unearth how it shows up in our lives, you know?
Got it. Before we let you go, Holly, what's one thing to give to our listeners? Like, what's the one thing for you personally that you do that just on a daily basis that recenters yourself? Is it a morning routine? Is it something that you do just to kind of, you know, share that with our listeners?
I meditate. I do Vipassana meditation now. I have really dedicated my that has been the cornerstone of my recovery. I've been to like 10-day silent workshops. I've been to, I mean, I've done all at all, and I've really landed in SN Goenka's Vipassana instruction. And that's what I do every day. And it's extremely helpful and beneficial. That's my thing.
I love it. Have you ever done ayahuasca?
No, I have not.
Okay.
No, but plant medicine is, you know, has its place in addiction recovery. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Where can our listeners find you and your book and everything else they need to know?
Yeah. And so I mostly currently contribute on Instagram. So it's at Holly. And you can buy my book. Please look at independent booksellers. Please look at your local favorite bookstore. You can go to Target. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon. It's everywhere. It's called Quit Like a Woman.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for coming on Wind Down. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Holly. We appreciate your time.
Great conversation.
Yeah,
great conversation.
I love it. Okay. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Well, that was some good combos.
Yeah, you know.
It's good. I liked it.
It was really interesting, and I appreciated her delivery on things and just, you know, making it known that it's okay for people to have different methods of getting somewhere, and especially her point. I mean, this just reigns true for so many things across the board about just because your way of doing things is different than mine doesn't mean
one's wrong or right,
you know. It's just, I respect that, and I think the world and the country, especially right now, needs more of that kind of mindset.
For sure. And I also think, too, like, sometimes it just can be so overwhelming where it's like, this is bad for you, this is bad for you, this is bad for you, you can't have that, that's bad for you. And it's just like, just, you know, do your own research, and then don't overdo it and see how it's serving you as well, you know? I mean, yeah. We're all smart, right? But love you guys, and I'm excited. We've got some really amazing podcasts coming up. I mean, just to tease a few, James Lafferty, Stephen Coletti, which, you know, for my Tree Hillers. We've got Tiger Woods' mistress. So that's going to be a very intense conversation. And I also have a little bit of a spoiler. One of the winners from the Bachelorette season is also going to be on, and I'm super pumped to talk to him.
Man, we're loaded the next month.
So it's
going to
be,
so.
Y'all stay tuned.